Hello, welcome back to Ask a Monk. This is a response in regards to the question as to whether or not Buddhists must be vegetarian, or what are my thoughts on vegetarianism. And this comes at an interesting time. Just as I was intending to reply to this question, it's now come up in the news that the founder of Facebook, Mark Zuckerberg, has adopted the philosophy that we're often confronted with, that if one is going to consume the flesh of other animals, then one should undertake to take the life of those animals oneself. So one should be the killer rather than, as the theory goes, allowing someone else to kill for you. So this makes this question quite topical or what's the word? Quite timely. You know? So, just to give my thoughts on vegetarianism, it's not a it's not a simple discussion, and it's not, this isn't a question, in fact, that that should be taken lightly. Surprisingly, it might seem like it's not a terribly important topic, but it involves the very core issue of Buddhist ethics and an understanding of requires an answer of this question. To this question requires an understanding of what exactly Buddhist ethics are, and the sort of philosophy that the Buddha had. So first of all, I want to say that this is probably one of those questions that's going to get negative responses from both sides, from the people who believe Buddhists should be vegetarian, and from those who believe, not Buddhist, but those who sort of believe that people like Mark Zuckerberg are correct, that it's better to better to kill for, you know, better to be the person who does the killing rather than be hypocritical and eat meat. Eat meat, but don't agree with killing. If your stance is you know, that eating meat is okay, then you are not therefore able to hold the stance that killing is not okay, and therefore you should actually be better off to kill for yourself rather than have people kill for you. I don't know what to say to that, except that you know, to be clear, that I'm aware that this isn't going to be universally held, and I don't want people to think that my view is the view held by all Buddhists or by all people who follow the Buddhist teaching, or you know, who consider themselves to be Buddhist. Let's put it that way. So let's talk. We have to talk about two things here. The first one is an understanding of Buddhist ethics. Buddhist ethics are based on ultimate reality. And this shouldn't be a scary term, especially if you've been following the meditation teachings that I teach, or that are presented by the Buddha himself. What it means simply is the experience of the reality around us in the present moment. So Buddhist ethics are not intellectual. They're not passed down by some higher authority. They're scientific. Something is unethical, not because of specifically the suffering that it brings to the victim, in the case where there is a victim, or to other people. They're not unethical because they cause suffering. They're unethical because they change the mind of the person who undertakes them. They lead to one's own detriment. Something is ethical, and simply because it, by its very nature, degrades the state of one's mind. So when Mark Zuckerberg cuts the throat of a goat, now immediately what comes to my mind is not the suffering that the goat is going through, because that's actually relatively minor. It's not a big deal to have your throat slit. That might seem like a horrific thing to have happen, and indeed it is. But relative to the state of mind of a person who would do that to another living being, I find that far scarier. And that's not a theoretical, that's not an intellectual view. It's one that comes from looking at my own history and the things that I've done and being able to compare them with these sorts of action. I cringe at the thought of someone doing that to another living being, and that comes from cringing at my own actions and being able to see the results of my own actions and how they've affected me and how wrong it was, feeling bad about them from the core of my being. It comes from an ability to empathize, which we gain through the meditation practice. Because someone who empathizes with the suffering of others will never do these things. And it's only through the pushing away or the repression of our empathy for the suffering of others that we're able to do these sorts of things. It's a horrific thing to kill another living being, and the fact that that's not clear to us is just a sign that our mind, that we haven't taken the time to look at the nature of our actions. People who take an intellectual point of view will often see nothing wrong with killing, and in fact will often postulate situations such as this where killing is the preferable method. Now, when you look at it in this way, and indeed if you should understand that this is how the Buddha would have us look at ethics, then to compare the two situations, before we talk about vegetarianism, comparing the two situations, a person who eats meat and a person who kills, from this point of view, now putting aside any intellectual arguments, and I'll try to get to that in a second, simply from the experiential point of view, which is the true, the proper view according to the Buddha, whether you agree with it or not, it's a world of difference. You can eat meat without any unwholesomeness in your mind. It's possible. I think that should go without saying, that a person can be mindful of something, you know, no matter what it is, putting it in your mouth, swallowing it, and tasting it and so on, and making use of the energy without having any malice or any thoughts of causing suffering to any being at all. And it's only when we become intellectual about it and when we make the assumption, for instance, that more beings are going to have to die or someone is going to have to kill for us, or I guess in the sense of people like Mark Zuckerberg, and many people have this view that one should kill for oneself, the idea that you won't respect the significance of the act. But really the person who kills cannot help but crush experience a state of crushing and repressing our natural empathy for each other as living beings. And will degrade the state of their mind. And this is empirical. This is something most people can't see. I have a story that I always tell about when I was young and I was hunting with my father. I wasn't always a Buddhist. I killed a deer actually once, which is my claim to shame. But it was very difficult. It was a very difficult thing to pull the trigger, which was strange because I had no qualms about it at the time. I wasn't at all afraid of hurting other beings. I had some empathy, but not anything nearly as advanced as it should have been. And so, but nonetheless, my whole body shook, And it was a difficult thing to do. After that, it became a lot easier. After the first time, as I got into it and got used to it, became accustomed to it, it got a lot more difficult. And simply because of the repression that goes on and the degradation of the mind until you become numb to it. It's also, this is also something that's easy to see when you talk to soldiers or I took peace studies in university, and we studied war, so it is that you get people to kill. And they found that in the First World War there was an incredibly low accuracy rate of in terms of bullets shot and enemies killed or people killed. And this was because they found out that most of the soldiers didn't want to kill their fellow human beings, and they would shoot over each other's heads. Apparently this is a documented fact. So this frustrated the leaders greatly, and so they tried to figure out how it is that you can get your soldiers to kill. How can you teach someone to kill? And the way to do it is to destroy the empathy that they might have for the other human being by creating distance between them. So this is why you have all these derogatory terms for the enemy, right? Why you hear that? Why we had in the early part of the last century a lot of propaganda and derogatory terms used to refer to other, the enemies, the names for the Germans, the names for the Japanese, and so on, and the movies that show them, vicious and mean and cruel, and trying to. So they did everything they could to create a distance and destroy the ability to empathize with the other living being. And they found that this helped. What they found that helped even more is when they started using more technologically advanced means of killing each other, bombing. Because bombing, then they what the soldiers would say is, it's just like a video game. And so they had very little qualms about dropping bombs and so on. I think this points quite clearly to the relationship between empathy and the state of killing, the act of killing, and how you need to crush your empathy in order to do it. So, I think people who use the computer a lot, it gets easier for them because if you're not careful, it's easy for you to build up intense states of concentration that are able to crush your emotions, crush your sense of reality and empathy. And so it's very easy to think logically that this is somehow a better way of doing things. So, okay, that's on the one side, but this also helps us to understand what the Buddhist answer to the question, should we be vegetarians, is. The answer is no. The answer is, in regards to the requirement for being a vegetarian, no, there is no requirement, and there shouldn't be a requirement. And in fact, I would postulate, but this is actually a little bit of a different argument, I would postulate that it's better not to be totally vegetarian. What I would advocate is passive vegetarianism. And that's in the sense of not desiring meat. But this is actually a different argument. I want to finish the first argument. The first argument is pointing out that in terms of the empirical nature or the experiential nature of eating meat and killing, it's two completely different things. A person who eats meat can do so free from guilt. This is my understanding. This is what we have in the earliest Buddhist texts that I'm aware of. Not in all Buddhist texts, but this is the understanding that I follow. And I think, in my mind, it's quite clear, even though many people will disagree. So the other argument that has to do with the intellectual side of eating meat. So the argument goes that irregardless of the states in the person's mind at the time, that there is an ethical responsibility to refrain from eating meat, because animals will be killed. So this is why people... I think there's an understanding generally that you're not eating meat viciously, thinking, you know, die, because you know it's already dead. But the ethics that they're talking about, which I submit is not really true Buddhist ethics, is that it's going to lead to beings being killed. And if we don't eat meat, then fewer beings will be killed. Now, this is why I thought it's important to explain the nature of Buddhist ethics as I follow it, as I see it. Because this sort of ethics, really doesn't hold up in my mind, because all beings have to die. As I said, the real problem isn't that beings are killed or so on, because we all have to die. More suffering, less suffering is really all relative, and it's really not the biggest problem, because eventually we're all going to have to learn to understand and to let go and to not be affected by suffering. So it's not necessarily the case that suffering is going to be a bad thing or something we have to worry about. What we really have to worry about is the state of our minds. So a person who eats meat does so with a pure mind. A person who kills obviously does so with an impure mind. And that's really where the difference lies. A person who eats meat is not thinking of or has no real connection with the act of killing that goes on. The idea that somehow you can stop beings from being killed is really a bit short-sighted, I think, considering the fact that when you look at the world around us, the amount of killing that goes on is something in, you know, to an incredible the magnitude of the problem. If your solution to, or if your goal is to find a solution to the problem of killing, then, you know, just stepping out your door is going to cause difficulty for you because of the, you know, the murder that goes on in every quarter by every type of being on earth, by most types of beings. If you're not a predator, you're prey, for the most part. And so this points to the second part of the argument, that Buddhism is a path towards simplicity. This sort of intellectual argument has no place in Buddhism, because we're not trying to change the world. We're not trying to fix the world. The world is, by nature, it's something that we've created out of our ignorance. It's something that we've put together based on our craving, based on the idea that somehow we're going to create a stable and lasting state of existence. And what the Buddha realizes is that you can't do it, because everything is unstable and changing. And because as the more you try to cling to things as stable, the more you create suffering. This is another part of the argument. The third thing that I wanted to say, so the second is that these sort of intellectual arguments, the point is that if you open up the can of worms of the intellectual responsibility to not eat meat, then you'll never find rest, because every part of your life in some way causes suffering for other beings. When you drive a car, you shouldn't drive a car, because most likely the beings are going to die as a result of you driving a car. You shouldn't use most beauty products or razor blades, because they've all been tested on animals. And there are people who think like this, but it goes to such, you know, there is no line you can draw. And I would submit that there is no need to find a line. The line is quite clear in terms of where our intentions are. And this is throughout the Buddha's teaching. Buddha said, when you step on an ant, if you didn't know you were stepping on the ant, you're not guilty of anything. The point is what goes on in your mind, because this is what's going to change who you are, and this is what's going to affect your future. It's what's going to change the world. Because if our minds are pure, we'll never have any desire to kill. If our mind is pure, we'll change the minds of other people. We will help the people around us to decide that killing is wrong and so on. And so the problem will never arise. The point is to stop people from wanting to kill, not to stop people from wanting to eat meat. So, but why I say I think passive vegetarianism is good, and what that means, there is, so this is the third part, that passive vegetarianism I think is a good thing. And I don't think this is nearly as important, but it's something for us to think about. Because a person who wants to eat meat, a person who is actively seeking out meat, is doing something we should all be aware of. They're guilty of something. And a fairly extreme form of karma, of this type of karma. The type of karma I'm thinking of is the karma based on greed, based on desire. And it's a prime example of how desire leads to the degradation of our world. Our desire for meat has, no doubt, done a lot to change the nature of this earth. The fact that we do kill, the fact that there is an incredible amount of killing going on, has degraded the world to a great extent. They say that the only reason people kill is because people want, you know, there's a desire for meat, and therefore people are killing. But that's a simplistic thing to say. People kill because they have defilements in their mind, because they don't understand that killing is wrong. They're the ones who are guilty of the killing, the person who kills. The people who have greed, who push them to do it in a sense, or make it viable for them to do, have some responsibility for the situation, but are not guilty of murdering. So when a person desires to eat meat, if you're someone who is going out of your way to find meat, and this might even include buying meat, although I would consider that to be a little more neutral, in the sense that you go to the grocery store and you buy the food that you know is going to be healthy. But when a person is actively seeking it out, when a person is actively looking for meat or encouraging people, asking for it, and so on, then there is a problem. There is the degradation. The only type of vegetarianism that I really wouldn't advise is the active vegetarianism, where you refuse meat when it's given to you. And this is, as monks, this is the type of vegetarianism that we don't subscribe to. So, as monks, we are guilty if we ask for meat, if we desire meat, if we're looking for it, then this is considered to be an offense against our monastic code. But we are expected to eat the food that people give us. And I think this is the line in the sand, or the line that we should draw, because at this point there is no guilt and no responsibility. The only way I can see that a person has responsibility is not because intellectually somehow they are contributing, but because they are actively encouraging, promoting, increasing the demand, because they actually demand it. When a person takes whatever food they're given, or, you know, and this doesn't just apply to monks, so when we go to someone's house and they offer us food, you know, and they offer us meat, this is considered, you know, we are a passive recipient of the meat. We're not actively seeking it out, and we have no greed for it, and we eat it for our nourishment. I would say that this is ethically neutral, an ethically neutral act. And so for this reason, I would say that no, it's not necessary to be vegetarian. I would say that there is an argument that we should not actively seek out meat. But if a person is if a person is looking to practice meditation and follow the Buddha's teaching, I would say that even could be that buying meat is not a real problem. If your intention is not to specifically buy meat, but simply to buy food that is going to sustain you, with the only object of for the practice of meditation. Because as I said, the point of the whole argument, the point of the Buddha's teaching is the simplification of our lives, that our lives should be simply about our experience. When we see, it's only seeing. When we hear, it's only hearing. The Buddha said this is the way to enlightenment. The way we should train ourselves is that seeing becomes only seeing, hearing becomes only hearing, smelling, tasting, feeling, and thinking. So meat is something that only has significance in an intellectual sense. On an experiential level, it's something that has been abandoned. There is no mind involved, so there is no empathy and no sympathy and no relation to ourselves, no connection to ourselves that needs to arise in the mind. It's the physical that has been abandoned by the being to whom it once belonged. So, that is my understanding of vegetarianism, that it's not quite as simple as one might think, and it does show that Buddhist ethics are actually, you know, quite logical, scientific, and quite simple, easy to understand, I should think, especially if you're practicing meditation. The only time it would be unethical is in the same way that anything that involves greed is unethical. Anytime we have greed, we can see why the universe, why the world is being changed in so many ways. Is totally about greed. Our greed for oil, our greed for land, our greed for gold, money, our greed for computers and electronics. This is a good example, for instance. The electronics industry and all of the metals and so on is actually creating great conflict in the world. So there are people who will say that using the electronic devices that we have with the computer chips and so on, with all of their metals that have to be mined and therefore have to be fought over. So the people who are using these are actually contributing to the conflicts in places like many African nations, where they are doing mining and there's, you know, there's not one group, there's everyone's fighting over them, and there's a lot of suffering that goes on. My point is that it's not direct, because a person obviously who uses the electronic devices has no thought in their mind that they're doing that. The point is, those people who are fighting over these things are, you know, if they were to give up, then there would obviously be no problem. When we let go, and the people who are encouraging the fighting, who are pushing to get these minerals and so on, but yet we can see how our greed affects that, how our need for these, you know, high-tech gadgets and so on. So this is an unethical part of our being that we should give up. If we can use things like technology that exists without greed, without attachment, without need for them, and without need for really everything, then there would never be any need to go to war for anything. We'd all be able to, you know, use what we have. But you can see it's totally based on greed that we're fighting over rocks, as an example, and so many other things. This is a different aspect of the issue of vegetarianism, as it is an aspect of all of our actions, the part of our lives that has to do with our desires and our need for this or that. So I hope this has been interesting and helped to put somehow in perspective the issue of vegetarianism. I think it's sad that people might feel guilty when they eat meat, unreasonably, thinking that somehow they are responsible for some sort of killing. And I know there are many people who feel that way and actually probably quite disagree with what I'm saying here. But I would ask those people to look in their own minds and to see the state of mind, even as they're listening to this video, because it's the state of our mind that is the most important. It's the only thing that's going to determine our future. If I eat meat, I'm not worried about it because it means nothing to me. I know that the being is gone. But when I see living beings, even farm animals or so on, knowing that they have to be slaughtered, it's really a totally different state of affairs. I could never do some of the things that I did before because I understand the suffering involved. It's quite clear, I think, if you meditate to see the difference, that you would never wish suffering on another being if you understand the nature of suffering and the nature of the defilements that lead us to cause suffering for others. So I think that's enough for this question. Thanks for tuning in. All the best.